Tonight I'm going to be teaching on the regions of captivity. And it comes from Ana Mendez's book, Regions of Captivity. And this book has opened my eyes to where I was at and what I needed to do to get free. Because I struggled and struggled and for years and years and years on how to get rid of the spirit of fear. Everybody says you gotta face it. Well, I faced it. But it was still there. I'd get the victory over it. Bam, it was back. So I just started crying out to God. God, you gotta help me here. Because I can't do this. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. So tonight we're going to learn a little bit about hell and the regions that's in hell. And I pray that you get, you know, something out of it to where you can get free too. So Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we ask that you open up the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes to your message tonight. And we thank you and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, Jesus dealt with captivity first. Then he gave gifts to men so they can develop the church. And that's what God has been doing in this church. He said he's given us the keys to the kingdom and to defeat the devil. So this is what just about every service, we get new keys on how to defeat the enemy and how we can get really free and stay free. So it says, the body of Christ is full of sickness, division, fear, financial scarcity, grave character flaws, lack of understanding, and in many cases, lack of vision. And isn't that what's going on? These are the symptoms we must consider to realize perhaps there is something we have not really understood. This breach in our understanding is one of the main reasons why Jesus came to earth to take our captivity captive. Every person who has suffered an emotional blow, trauma, or has suffered from the pain of having his heart broken, almost certainly is being held captive in some area of his life. And that's the God's heaven truth. Because I see it all the time. People walk around thinking they're free when they're not. And it's like, you know, okay, God, what is going on here? We need help. We need to know what to do, how to do it. And, you know, show us the areas in our lives that we need to conquer. Once you understand this subject, you will find the answers to the most complicated dilemmas of your inner being. It will help you recognize the place where you are still held captive, and it will set you free so that you can help others. It is our work as sons of God to take the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God to every creature, setting them free and translating them from the kingdom of darkness into his wonderful light. And Isaiah 58:6, it says, is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? And that's what Jesus has given us the power to do. And the authority. The enemy fragments and imprisons our souls. And I learned that, but not until just recently, just how bad that the enemy could really have your soul bound up. So I learned to break through and take captive souls out through Jesus Christ. And God has showed me as an intercessor how to go into the regions of captivity and bring souls out of the prisons. And he let me know that when God says that I'm working behind the scenes, what he meant was he's got people praying for your battle. And when the battle's won through the intercessors and the prayer warriors, then you can go through that battle and get the victory. But everything in every area of our life, the intercessors and the prayer warriors is what brings the problem to where you can go through it. It breaks the darkness. It breaks the powers of the enemy. I didn't know that. I've really been struggling with that too. But God has really done a work in me, and he has really showed me on different things. And Anna Mendez, when she went to hell to bring her sister out of hell, she said she heard the demons chanting. And she said she heard them chanting in unison, "Oh, Satan, Satan, your will be done on earth as it is in hell." Now, ours is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So you know the devil counterfeits everything that God does. But I thought that was kind of, you know, it's like, well, he's brazen, you know. But that's his domain is hell. So that's what he's fighting for, and that's what he's protecting. So the devil is an imitator and knows how to untie the visible with the invisible. He uses the power of curses and witchcraft to establish his design upon the earth. Now, returning to the scene where she found herself in a diabolical chamber, she asked the Lord what I should do, and he responded, "The Son of Man was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, not only on the face of the earth, but to the depths of hell where they originate. The word of faith decreed from a spirit united to Jesus does not stop on the surface of the earth. It has power to penetrate the heavens, hell, and the invisible world." I thought that was pretty interesting too. And it said, Jesus not only came to save us from sin, but also to rescue us from our captivity and from all that implies the kingdom of darkness, sickness, death, brokenness, anguish, poverty. And Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." The reality is the kingdom of darkness is formed of thousands and millions of prisons where Satan holds the human race captive. He's got his own little prison. They got their own little cells. And, you know, well, you know what a prison looks like, right? So that's what the enemy's got. He's got a prison. And some part of our souls, when we have been traumatized and heartbroken and all that stuff, we're in one of those prisons somewhere. And God came to set us free. And it says that, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Now, I can talk about me, because if I get offended, oh, well, get over it. But I've been battling this fear battle since I was in my 20s. When y'all know my story, how I was locked in a closet when I was young, and, you know, the different things, went with a guy to beat me and choke me till I passed out. All these things just added on to what I had already been through. So anyway, I have fought and fought and fought to get rid of this fear. And I kept praying, God, please don't take your spear from me. Please, God, don't send me to hell, right? And then I wouldn't even face it. It got to the point to where, what's the use? It's not going nowhere. You know what I mean? It had me that bound up and had that tight grip on me. And it's like I couldn't, when I couldn't face the fear, then there was condemnation because I couldn't face the fear. Then there was guilt. Then there was shame. These demons had me locked up in that prison, and they was tormenting me with all this guilt and all this shame and everything that, you know, they were poking me. You know what I'm saying? And I could feel the darkness, and I could feel the doors shut to where I couldn't get out. And one day I had a dream that I was sitting in a prison, but the doors wasn't locked. But I didn't know how to get out. So the more that I could, the more I wouldn't face the fear, because I knew it was still going to be there. It wasn't going to go nowhere. So the more that I got to the point to where I just sit down. And that's the wrong thing to do, because then he could really take you over. And it really takes God to bring you out of that prison. And then with all the witchcraft that I had went through, and that, you know, people were putting on me and everything, and it was like, you know, it was a losing battle. That's the way I felt. And it was like there was no light at the end of the tunnel. So when the Lord said that that he came to set the captives free, I thank God, because when he first laid this on my heart, I tried it. I said, all right, Lord, you gave me this book. You told me how to do it. You told me what to do. So I'm going to try it. See if it works. So I took a person, and I went to the regions of captivity and the cell that they were in, and I did what God said, and I brought their souls out, and they started feeling good, you know? They didn't feel bound and in captivity anymore. I thought, this works. So that gave me the incentive to carry it further. So when I got into this book deeper and deeper, it's that the problem is in thinking captivity is for persons who have social problems, such as drug addiction, prostitutes, and alcoholics. Once they have given up their vices or their addictions, we assume that they've left the prisons and are free from slavery. But the matter is much more complex than that, and it concerns us all. The truth is, any person can be captive, including Christians. In the Bible, we even see prophets, such as King David, being captive in spiritual prisons. In Psalms 142:7, David said, "Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." King David was never in a physical prison. However, the builder of the most extraordinary worship tabernacle it ever constructed said to God he couldn't worship because his soul was in prison. So even David knew back then This is the reality of millions of people who are unable to worship and function in other areas of their lives. There are people who are happy one Sunday morning in the service, and that same afternoon are defeated by sadness, rage, and anguish. And that's what happened to me. Sunday morning, I'd be high, you know, praise God, I can go to heaven. By Sunday afternoon, a fear would come up, bam, right back down on the bottom. And I couldn't see. And I felt so ashamed. And I felt like, you know, I was unworthy and that I'd never get it together. And that, you know, I'd never be what God has called me to be. Millions of Christians cannot find their breakthrough when it comes in the area of health, character, and finances. One day they are at their peak, the next in the valley. This is because Jesus' victory over captivity is almost an unknown subject in the church. I didn't know I could go down to the prisons and bring souls out. The devil does not need to possess the entire soul of a person to take it prisoner in the spiritual sphere. He only needs a fragment to establish it in a region of his kingdom and from there afflict it. In order for this to happen, he must shatter the soul through circumstances, causing deep fear, trauma, or acute pain. In addition, through participation in the occult and sin, he can divide it. And that's what he does. All he needs is just a little teeny tiny piece, just a little teeny tiny fragment, and he's got you. In biblical symbolism, when the Lord talks about Judah, many times it has to do with their soul. And when Jerusalem is talked about, it has to do with their spirit. The people of Israel in the Old Testament are a symbol of the spiritual condition of the church. Taking this into account, let's look at the devil's devices to fragment souls in the scriptures. And as Isaiah 7:6, I'm sorry I didn't write it down to where she could put it up on the screen. But it said, let us go against Judea and harass and terrify it, and let us cleave it asunder, each of us taking a portion, as set a king in the middle of it, namely the son of Tabeel. All of us have been victims of at some time of terrifying or painful situations. These are moments in which something breaks in the depth of our being. Expressions such as, I'm broken up, or they broke my heart, demonstrate our soul during fragmentation. The devil takes advantage of moments of great suffering to capture a piece of us and take us prisoners in his kingdom. It is interesting that once that soul has been broken, the devil allows the son of Tabeel to reign over it. In Arabic, Tabeel means good for nothing. Then Satan makes us useless in an area of our life or in every area in some cases. King David clearly understood that he had a spiritual enemy that stalked his soul in order to destroy it. Now, how many times have we really sat down to really think that there's an enemy out there that's trying to destroy us? We ought to know it in this church. But it's like, you know, people don't understand how things could happen and how the enemy hates you with a purple passion. And I mean, he just going to do anything that he can to destroy you. When it says that, it says phobias such as claustrophobia, agoraphobia, fear of heights and of the dark, and anything else that scares us, has to do with captivity of the soul. And it says that she, her brothers and sisters was outside, and they caught a moth and put it down her back, the back of her shirt. And it traumatized her so bad that she couldn't stand to see a moth or anything like that. She'd go crazy. She'd flip out. I've done that many a time in the back seat of a car. Get me out of here. And it's like, you know, that ain't no good feeling. People don't understand. If they don't have that fear, they don't understand how you feel. They don't realize that you're sitting there by death, suffocating, because you can't get out. So it said that when she became a Christian, she tried several times to be set free from this panic. And that's what I've done. But no matter what anyone did, I remained trapped by that phobia. It wasn't until I discovered these principles that I could be set free. As I said before, the soul feels, sees, and hears everything that is around it in that place where it is imprisoned. The fragment of my soul held captive was in a dark cell full, well, hers was black butterflies. Mine was being trapped. And it was like, there was no way out. And to get in an elevator, oh my. I was okay getting in, but when that door shut, you can't get out. So I go up the stairs. I don't care how sick I was. I don't care nothing. I was not getting in no elevator. I got it. The thing about it is, all this came in me when I got locked in that closet when I was little. But it never started affecting me till I was in my 20s. That's when it first started hitting me. Because when my husband was in the hospital, I went to the hospital to see him. And when I'd get in the elevator, all of a sudden I'd just, you know, start to shake and get all jittery and everything. And that's when it started. But I didn't know how to fight it. So that's why it got its grip on me, because I didn't know. I was in a so-called deliverance church, but there was no deliverance going on. You see what I'm saying? So I didn't know. I was judged because of this fear, which put me in even deeper, because it made me feel like I was no good, that I was never going to come out, that I was never going to conquer this thing. And it was like, you know, no matter where I turned or what I did, we was working one day. I worked at Client Logic, and we was working one day, and you had to have a badge to get in, right? Well, we got in, and the electric went out. We couldn't get out. Oh, my. I had to find me a door somewhere that I could get out of. And if that don't make you feel like a fool in front of a bunch of people, here you are claiming, I'm a Christian. I'm serving God. First time something comes up, man, you're panicking. But where's your God? I thought you said you serve God. It made me get to the point to where I wouldn't even say I was a Christian, because I was so ashamed. And I just got to the point to where I just started crying out to God. And I said, God, I said, now, something ain't right. Something, I know it ain't right. Something's got to give. So I did what this book said. And what she said was, you get in the spirit. And when you get in the spirit, you call on the Holy Spirit. And you call on the angels. And you call on them. And you ask them to take you into the regions of captivity where your soul was being held captive. And I got up in my bedroom in the floor and I called on the Holy Spirit and the angels. And I said, angels, go in and unlock that door. I worked it out. I said, you unlock that door and you swing that door open and you bring my soul out of the prison of fear. And I said, shut that door and lock it and cement it with the blood of Jesus where it can never come back. And thank you, Jesus. I have battled this battle for so long. It was like it was part of me. And it was like I kept crying out to God every time I had to face a fear. I cry out, God, please don't let this fear overtake me. So when I fell and broke my hand and I had to have surgery, my husband took me into Eaton Hill Surgery Center. And when I got, Wednesday night, I was sitting here in church and I was sitting there and I said, God, I said, please don't let the Spirit take me over tomorrow into surgery. And as I was sitting there, something down in my spirit, it was like it just melted. And I praise God because when I got in that surgery center, I got in there and I went in and they, you know, checked me in and everything. And they took me in the back to get me ready for the surgery. And I had so much peace that I had never known in my whole life. And when they come and got me from the room, and took me to the surgery room. They told me, they said, get up on this table. I got up on the table. And the last thing I heard was the doctor say, put your hand on the table. I was out. They hadn't hooked me up or nothing. I was just gone. And then when I came to, I told my husband, I said, I got so much peace. He said, you've been fighting a long time. Had that peace. So when my daughter told me to go to the orthopedic, she told me to go to First State Orthopedic. Well, guess what? It's on the second floor. So my husband went with me, and we went in there, and I got in the elevator with no problem. And I come out of that elevator with no problem. And I thank God because God led me, showed me how to do it. So if you know somebody that's got an addiction, drugs, alcohol, hormone perversion, take them to the region of captivity. Call on the Holy Spirit and the angels, that they can open up those prison doors and bring those souls out of prison. And it's like God is so good. And I kept telling him, God, please, don't take your spirit from me. I can't make it. I would call Pastor Barbara, and I'd just cry. I can't face this fear. I can't do it. She says, yes, you can, Nancy. Oh, no, I can't. And I wouldn't. But I thank God tonight. And the devil knew. Because Pastor Barbara gave me a prophecy years ago. Years ago. And she told me, she said, Satan's got you in the corner with fear. And when you realize that you're free, you're going to come out fighting. And I tell you this thing right now. I'm learning one thing. I'm learning that you don't pray, Lord, please do this. please take this from me, do this, do that. He gave us the authority. He told us to take dominion. We have to learn how to command them spirits to let us go. And I tell you what, it's given me a more determination to bring people out of captivity. I don't care what they're in. I don't care if God said they ain't gonna make it. Their soul somewhere is in prison. It may not be a prison out here, but it's in here. And we know that each and every one of us in here tonight has been traumatized. We have been brokenhearted. And that's what the enemy uses to take your soul captive. And that's what he needs to keep us there. These churches around here, they don't know the things that we know in here. God has given us keys to get the enemy out of our life. So if you have a drug addiction, if you have an alcohol problem, if you have a prostitute problem, perversion, whatever, God can set you free. He can bring your soul out of captivity. I've made a fool out of myself many a time. And that's another thing the enemy used against me. Because he said I was no good. I was never going to amount to anything. But I know one thing standing here tonight. That I am free. And I thank God because I know it's only by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I know that the angels are ready to do battle. So we have to stand up and we have to decree and we have to declare, devil, you are done. You are no more going to take anything from me. Everything you took, you're going to have to give it back. So that's my acre of ground that I had. That's my double wide that I lost. That's my minivan that I lost. And in the book of Job, Job got blessed twice. By God, because Job lost twice. He lost his kids, and he lost his prosperity. That's why he got blessed twice. God doubled it. He gave him double for his trouble. And you know what? I'm standing humbly before God, and I'm waiting for my blessings, because I know my God has seen me through. If he can see me through a spirit of fear, there ain't nothing God can't bring me through. And I tell you one thing right now. There's a witness right over there. She can tell you how I acted. I acted just like a fool. And I tell you one thing right now. I can get in the back seat of a car. I can get in the elevator. And when it was funny because God told me to get a colonoscopy, right? I said, oh, Lord. That's surgery, right? So on the way to get my colonoscopy, I kept telling God, you told me to get this. Now you got to see me through it. Now, Lord, I need some peace here, you know? But when I went through that colonoscopy, I had a little bit of peace, but I was still nervous. You know what I mean? And then right before they knocked me out, I was going to go, oh, I almost panicked, right? And she hit me with that stuff, and I went, blump. And it was like, it was not the surgery from my hand. I had so much peace. And it was like that peace that passes all understanding. I tell you what, and I heard a preacher say that when you pray in tongues, it brings peace. Well, I already have so much peace the devil can't never get in. Because that's all I do is speak in tongues. But I tell you what, this stuff is real. And there ain't nothing that God cannot deliver you from. And he's ready and he's willing to set you free. Because he don't want his people in bondage. He doesn't want his people subject to the enemy. Because whatever the enemy wants or says he's got, God has got so much greater. And tonight, God loves each and every one of us. And he wants us free. He said, who the Son has set free is free indeed. And there ain't nothing the enemy can do to us unless we allow it. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I've got new ground. And I've got new authority over the enemy. And I don't pray now, God, please take this from me. Please take this from me. Devil, you take your nasty hands off of me because I don't belong to you. There's nothing in my DNA that says I belong to the devil. So tonight, I pray y'all got something out of this, because I sure did. I tell you, every time I think about it, I just get swept away with God. And I mean, yeah, there's still things in me that I've got to go to the regions of captivity to get out. But it ain't as strong as the one that just come out. Because he was in me a long time. He had some ground. He had some root. But I thank God tonight that he set me free. And when you go home tonight and you get in your prayer closet, ask God to show you what is in captivity in your soul. The fragments that you need to take back from the enemy. And I believe that if you want that anointing for God to show you and to help you through the regions of captivity that we have to go through. And I mean, some of them cells are dark and they are cold. We need the anointing of God to set us free. Only he can do it. The Holy Spirit and the angels are ready and waiting on us and call them to do our bidding and to set us free. No longer. Every service that we have, God has anointed us for something. And he has brought us through many waters. Some waters was over our head. Some waters we didn't know how to make it. We didn't think we was going to make it. And now I've gone to the regions of captivity for my finances. And I know that they're getting ready to bust wide open. And I thank God for tonight, because there was two things that I've always battled in my life, and that was fear and finances. Always. And now, God is on the blessing business. He's bringing us out. And about 2 weeks before I fell, I kept hearing in my spirit, man, I'm tired of working. I need a break. I want some time off. And they kept going over and over and over in me, right? Next thing I knew, I was on my way to work one day. Pulled in the parking lot, parked my car, and bam, right down on the blacktop. I got my time off. I didn't expect it like this, but thank God I got my time off. My motto is no pain, no gain. And that's the way with anything. And I believe that thing, because no matter what you go through, there's pain. And you got to go through the pain to get to the gain. So hurry up and get through the pain so you can get the gain. But I thank God tonight because he's a wonderful God. And I agree with what Catherine Coleman said. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit because he's all I got. And I tell you, I'm getting a deeper relationship with God. And he's showing me different things. And I've taken a few of you out of the cells too. As God lays it on my heart. And he tells me what to do. But he's a wonderful God. And he has made a way for us out of the wilderness. All we have to do is walk in it. All we have to do is call upon his name. And all we have to do is be obedient. So tonight, if you want the anointing for God to show you, take you deep into spirit, to show you different things that you need, you know, how to help, how to get you through it, then the altar's open. And God's going to make a way. And he's going to bring you through.